Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
If you've ever dropped and broken something valuable, you know that feeling in the pit of your stomach. That, oh no, what have I done? It's incredible how many pieces my wife's favorite glass dish can become in just a split second. Now, when I've accidentally shattered a glass dish, it ends up in our trash. But I understand there's a Japanese art form that mends broken pottery and ceramics using a lacquer mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum that highlights the flaws and makes the repaired item more valuable than before. This art form reminds me of how God can take a broken person, life ruined by sin, and cleanse and make them whole. Their scars remind us that there's a God that can save a soul from hell and destruction and make us fit for heaven. There's real healing. There's real help to be found in Jesus. My friend, He cares about you this morning, and He can make a real difference in your life. He can heal your broken pieces and fill you with hope and love.
The potter's vessel that was broken by the wind and rain, and He sought with so much compassion to make it over again. Oh, I was that vessel that no one thought was good. I cried, Lord, You're the potter, and I am the clay. That day, then He made me a new vessel and took all my sin away. My friend, if you're broken by the storms of life, and have searched in vain for the answer to all
heart today.
That was Daryl and Regina Stettler with the song A Broken Vessel. Today we're airing the second part of a message by Pastor Going on the beauty of broken things. Here is Pastor Going.
The Methodists used to approach one another, the old-fashioned Methodists, and ask, "How does your soul prosper?" I would ask you this morning as your pastor, how does your soul prosper? When we look at our lives in light of eternity, that is the question of utmost importance. How does your soul prosper? Peter said, "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God's blessing is reserved for those who walk in humility and honesty before him and complete dependence on him. You say, how does God bless broken people? Well, I'm glad you asked. This isn't all original with me, but it's simple, it's good. I want you to get it this morning. When we're broken before God, God will draw near. James said, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, God saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw nigh. He will draw near to you. You begin to move towards God, God will move towards you. When I was a boy, Brother Albert Barr was one of my favorite preachers. How many of you heard Brother Barr preach? A great storyteller. And one of the things I remember him saying, he'd said, if you'll just wiggle your toe towards God, he'll come running towards you. And I love that picture, that idea. That's good news on a Sunday morning. If you'll just begin to move towards God, he comes moving towards you. When we're humble and honest before God, we're in a place where we realize we must have him, then God can come near and minister to us and help us. And then when we're broken before God, our love and our worship for him grows greater and deeper. You remember the story of Mary who came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and she anointed them with that precious, valuable perfume from the alabaster box. She was a broken woman. She knew who she was without God. She understood how much she needed him. And while she's breaking this alabaster box of precious ointment, here's Simon the Pharisee. He's watching Jesus as he lets this woman wash his feet with her tears and anoint him with oil. And he looks at Jesus, maybe even with a sneer, and he says he doesn't even know what kind of a woman this is. But Jesus looks at Simon, this man who gave every appearance outwardly of being deeply religious, but who had a definite heart problem. And Jesus spoke some strong words to him. And Simon was proud, and he felt like he was superior in every way to this woman, probably even thought he was superior to Jesus. But Jesus rejects this man, and yet he receives the humble woman's expression of love and devotion, and he forgives her sins. But because of his pride, Simon misses out on the greatest spiritual blessings that could have been his in the presence of Jesus. When we have a brokenness before God, then we begin to experience the depths of worship, the depths of love. When we're broken before God, that brokenness, thirdly, brings greater fruitfulness because God uses things that are broken. I can think of several biblical examples. Jacob wrestled with the angel all night, and finally he touched his hip. He was broken. His strength left him. But in Jacob's brokenness, we see utter dependence on God. And Jacob walked away with a limp, but he walked away with greater spiritual power than he'd ever known before. Think of the little boy. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish, just a little bit. And Jesus takes those things and he breaks them. And in the breaking of those things, there is a multiplication and the crowds are filled. And so many times I have prayed in preparing to preach, Lord, just take my little loaves and fish and break them and use them for your glory. And I want to tell you, whatever those loaves and fish may represent in your life, however seemingly insignificant it may seem to you, if you'll put it in God's hands and let him have it, give it to him, he can use it to multiply and to minister to in the kingdom. Jesus is the ultimate example of a broken sacrifice. Broken on Calvary's cross. Broken for your sins and my sins. And his precious blood was shed there. But through his broken body, eternal life was offered to the world. God blesses brokenness. Brokenness brings greater fruitfulness. The fruit of brokenness is seen in true spiritual revival. This truth is not novel, it's not new, but it's unchanging and it's sure. The pathway to revival, individually, corporately, begins at the gateway of humility and brokenness before God. As we come to an utter awareness of our dependence on Him. I love the stories of revivals from days gone by. The story is told that before the revival that swept across the Isle of Lewis in the Hebrides, there was a small group of church leaders who were meeting to pray for revival in their community. They were especially praying for their young people. And they met for 18 months, 3 nights a week. They met to pray. They would pray through the night into the wee hours of the morning. They wanted God to do something, but as they prayed, even in the midst of their persistence, nothing was happening. And then one night, a young church leader who was a part of that group, as they were praying, stood to his feet and he opened his Bible and he read from Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. He read this, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." And when he finished reading that scripture, he looked at the men around him and he said, You know, it seems like a waste of time for us to be waiting and praying like this if we're not doing everything we should be doing. And so those men began to confess some things in their life, and within just a short time, God poured out his Spirit in revival power and a revival that shook that entire island. I was reminded recently of the story of Erlo Stegen from KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. You may have heard it, and I won't take the time to share all of that story, but as I understand the details, Erlo Stegen began holding evangelistic services in a cow shed. And for 12 years, he held services there. And after a period of years, he only had a small handful of converts. He was very burdened at his lack of fruitfulness. And so he called his people together, and they began to seek God's face in prayer. And they prayed on and on for some time. And then one night, as they were in prayer, one of the women cried out, and she said, my tongue is on fire. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. And another lady said, my feet are on fire. I've gone places that I shouldn't have gone. And there began to be a breaking down and a melting down of the people in that little gathering. They began to confess. They began to humble themselves. And as God brought them together without any push, without any announcements, people began to pour into Erlo Stegen's cow shed, and there were unbelievably miraculous conversions, and God added to the church, and many, many things happened in that work that could only be described as the work of the Holy Spirit of God among them. And it all began because some Christians humbled themselves and got honest with God. One writer put it this way. He said, before its impact can be felt in a home, a church, or a nation, revival must first be experienced on a personal level in the hearts of men and women who have encountered God in a fresh way. And the single greatest hindrance to our experiencing personal revival is a lack of willingness to humble ourselves and confess our desperate need of God's mercy and our need for his strength and his help. Until we say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It just might be that you need to let God break up the soil in the garden of your heart. You remember the sower went forth to sow his seed, and yet some of the seed fell on hardened soil because it was not able to receive the seed, and so the seed is snatched away. For those of us who will experience God's work, we have to cultivate the garden of our heart to receive his truth, a heart that's moldable in the hands of the potter. That's what God promised to do through the prophet Ezekiel. He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And I'm praying that among us, God would give us a brokenness, a contriteness that says, God, help me to see myself as you see me. Take away any pretenses. Take away any facade. Take away anything that's fake or phony. Take away anything that's a hindrance to your blessing in my life, and revive our hearts and renew a holy fire and passion and strengthen our appetite for a closer walk with him, for deeper, richer fellowship with him. Help us to know his mind, to walk in his will, to walk in his way. Lord, I want to be broken and spilled out so that you can accomplish whatever you want to accomplish in my heart. Is that the cry of your heart this morning? He won't turn away a broken contrite heart.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
My friend, if you have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for evening worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There, you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.